You are listening to Pure Opelka
with Mike Opelka.
Testudo, my friends, and welcome to Friday. It's the podcast, full podcast edition of Pure Opelka. Much to get to today, and I have some things that have ticked me off royally and some things that have inspired me. So why don't we start today with something that, in fact, inspires me. You know what I'm inspired by? Miracles. Miracles. And we have a couple to talk about today. The first one happened in the NCAA tournament as Loyola University faced off against Miami, and something magical happened in the final seconds of the game.
One timeout, they don't take it.
Loyola star Dante Ingram drains the shot, wins the game, and who gets all the credit? Well, yeah, Ingram made the shot, but the players and the coaches and the media are all looking at a 98-year-old nun who serves as the spiritual guide for this team out of Loyola, Sister Jean.
And I told God that we would do our part if he would do his part. And I hope the referees would call the right kind of a game, that nobody would get injured, that we play with confidence and we know we'd win the game. And then at the end, when the buzzer rang, we wanted to be sure the score said we had the big W.
How do you not love Sister Jean? She's got the jargon, she's got the prayer power, and she brought it home. And after the game, she actually threw some shade on the Loyola Ramblers' next opponents.
Today, we wanted this so badly today. That's how come we did it. And all I can say is, Tennessee, watch out.
Tennessee, watch out indeed. How do you not love Sister Jean? The players love her too, including the guy who nailed the game-winning shot, Dante Ingram. This is what Ingram said after the game at the press conference.
She has meant, you know, so much to me personally, you know, obviously the team. She is there before every game. She's saying prayer before every game. After the game, she's sending a general email to the team. And then at the end of the email, it'll be individualized. You know, hey, Dante, you did this. You rebounded well tonight. Even though they were out there to get you, you know, you still came through for the team. But, you know, she's just so special. You know, her spirit, she's just so bright. And she means so much to the city of Chicago and, you know, Loyola, obviously, our team.
There it is, from the players themselves. Sister Jean is their hero, their inspiration, and as Sister Jean would say to the next opponent faced by Loyola,
Tennessee, watch out.
Let's follow up Sister Jean with another miracle. There may be two more miracles on the way. This one comes out of Hoboken, New Jersey, right there on the banks of the Hudson River, the home of Frank Sinatra, etc. A great town, Hoboken, New Jersey. And in that town, Our Lady of Grace and St. Joseph's Church had a miracle, a Lenten miracle happen. The church was reunited with a statue of the baby Jesus that had been stolen almost 100 years ago. This was a little baby Jesus that was in the nativity scene that used to be outside the church. Well, they thought it was a bomb when they got the delivery. Reverend Alexander Santora of the church said he walked outside and there was a package. A package that didn't look like it came from a company. In other words, it had like paper and tape wrapped around it. No return address. So it looked as if someone had just dropped it in front of the church. Reverend Santora called the Hoboken Police Department to report the suspicious package. They brought out the emergency services unit with a heat detecting device. It looked like there was no IED inside, no concerns for an explosion. So they opened it up and found a note with the baby Jesus. The note, which actually had the date of January 2nd on it, was kind of an apology, saying that the baby Jesus had been stolen from the church's nativity scene in the early 30s and somehow ended up in this guy's grandfather's hands, and he never returned it. Maybe he was embarrassed. He gave it to the man's mother, and she kept it until she died recently, and it came to pass into his hands. He figured this needed to be back in the hands of the church, so he returned it. And the other miracle involved here is the condition, the great condition. There was only a tiny chip on the bottom of the package. So good for you, the church. You've gotten your baby Jesus back. I do consider this a Lenten miracle. This is, after all, a church that's got a deep history in the region. It's been around since the 19th century, has old statues and relics in storage, and just maybe they'll put together that nativity scene. Appropriately, this happened during Lent and just around Easter time. Miracle number two. Today's third miracle involves Oprah Winfrey. I'm not kidding. Listen to Jesus A. Christ talking about the letter she wrote to Oprah Winfrey. That's right. Jesus A. Christ is a lady.
May God bless you to understand his word, eternal love and friendship.
Signed,
Jesus A. Christ.
83-year-old Jesus Christ is used to getting a lot of questions about her name.
Most of them think I'm just plain crazy and ignore me.
But not Gail King. King noticed a letter Christ sent from North Waterboro, Maine, to her best friend Oprah.
An interesting sidebar to this story. The reporter is not named. It's posted on the CBS affiliate station's website, WGME. It's Channel 13 in Maine. And they don't name the reporter, not on the video, not on the text that's posted online. The focus is all on Jesus A. Christ and what this woman has been doing. She changed her name years ago, years and years and years ago.
My Social Security card, all my medical cards, everything I have for ID reads that way.
After she changed her name, she started writing letters to people to try and spread the word of the Bible, the word of God. She talked about that.
I try to live every moment of my life under God's will.
The reporter who covered this, the unnamed reporter who's on the WGME website and on the video, should get a lot more attention and credit. He did a great job with this lady.
Do you think Oprah should run for president?
If she does, I'll vote for her, that's for sure.
I don't think I've ever used this expression before, but that Jesus Christ is adorable. I'll tweet out a link to the story so you can see the entire video yourself. Those were my favorite moments from it. And Oprah, I guess that's your sign. The biggest question I have, why is Gail King reading Oprah Winfrey's mail? Seriously, isn't that Stedman's job? Coming up a little bit later in the show, we have Phil Lempert, the supermarket guru, who spent some time on the radio this week with Angie Austin and myself. As you know, we have a brand new nationally syndicated radio show. And Phil talked about some new interesting trends in supermarkets around the country and taught us a new word. No, it's not the word of the day, which we will have later in the show, but it's a great one. You want to stick around for that. And now that I've gotten through the miracles and sort of the good news, I have to cover some things that really ticked me off today. Some things that had me boiling over, and there is a basket full of them. We'll get to as many as we can. The first is about a book. And I got the tip on this book called Great Leaders from our buddy, author Gerald Posner. Gerald sent me this last night, and I couldn't believe it. So I posted it on the Pure Opelka website. If you haven't seen it, you can go there, pureopelka.com. It's a real book. It's a 48-page book meant for kids. It comes from the Pegasus Book Company, their division called Pegasus for Kids. The book supposed to be teaching kids what a great leader looks like. And on the cover of Great Leaders, you see Barack Obama. You see Nelson Mandela, Mahatma Gandhi, and Adolf Hitler. Wait, what? Yes, Hitler's on the cover of this book. It's not a joke. The publisher says, quote, "Men and women who will inspire you, who have devoted their lives for the betterment of their country." Close quote. Are you kidding me? Adolf Hitler among the 11 leaders you've chosen throughout all of history? Hitler makes the top 11 leaders in a book that's supposed to teach kids what a great leader looks like? This is insanity. The Simon Wiesenthal Center has actually put out a press release about this, demanding that this book be removed. It should be pulped the way the original version of the O.J. Simpson book, If I Did It, was pulped. This is really horrific. Hitler, along with Gandhi, Churchill, Barack Obama, Nelson Mandela, you've got Nobel Prize winners in there. And Adolf Hitler. Insanity. Speaking of insanity, California, you're back in my crosshairs again. California, while we're on the subject of stories that tick me off, stories that have just got me screaming, California, you've given us two of them. Two of the stories. The guy who killed Kate Steinle, he was acquitted of murder. I don't even want to dignify this man by putting his name on the radio. But this guy, deported several times and then put on trial for murder and found not guilty of murder. It should have been at least some sort of homicide, involuntary manslaughter even. This guy is now suing the state of California for, I think it's malicious prosecution. This is insanity, California. You have to find a way to stop stuff like that. But I don't know how we convince you to stop stuff like that when you are also allowing your lawmakers to give jobs to illegal aliens. This story ought to tick you off. California appointed an illegal immigrant to a job within the state. Yes, a job. A job to an illegal instead of someone who's here legally, proving once again that the people running the state, not the good people we know who still live in California, but those running the state care more about the appearance of social justice and non-citizens than they do care about the people who actually pay their salaries. California, I am so sad for you today. This is just wrong on every single level. All right, let's get away from the crazy, all the stuff that makes me angry, and get back to learning stuff. Our buddy Phil Lemper joined me on the radio this week and was introduced to my new radio partner, Angie Austin. Angie Austin and Mike Opelka is the name of the show. If you haven't heard it yet, it's on the satellite, and it's on about, I think, 10 or 12 radio stations around the country. In our first week, we picked up a bunch of stations. I hope it will be on a station near you soon, so stay tuned. Earlier this week, as I mentioned, we talked to Phil Lempert, the supermarket guru, and I introduced Phil to my co-host and my new partner, Angie Austin. Phil, Angie, Angie, Phil.
Hey, Angie, and in fact, what I'm doing, because this is the first time we're meeting, I'm actually wearing my purple guru robes.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I've always wanted to be a guru, and I love robes, but I always get nervous when people wear them because I want to make sure there's something underneath, because I heard about a judge once that didn't.
There's something underneath.
Now suddenly we've gone Harvey Weinstein on everybody. It's very unsettling for a brand new radio show. Angie, let me tell you, you said this yesterday when you were talking about your daughter was whining because she gets tired of grocery shopping. And you said, well, you never get tired of eating. And it is one of those things that unites us all, no matter where we are on political or economic spectrums. Food is at the center of all of our lives. And that's kind of where I view Phil. But he's the guy who's turned it into an incredible career that's taken him everywhere. But he's also a guy with knowledge. And Phil, yesterday we were talking briefly about a story that says grocery stores have suddenly become this hot social hangout. And you've been predicting this for years.
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, there are stories about people getting married in supermarkets because they met in supermarkets. But now it's actually called grocerants, you know, grocer from grocery store and rants from restaurants. And what we're seeing around the country, whether it's at Wegmans, who have eight different named restaurants, we have Schnucks that on Friday night, they have music playing in the deli and they have valet parking. Mariano's in Chicago is the hot pickup place Friday nights at their Oyster Bar. I mean, Hy-Vee has their Market Grills. They've got over 110 of them, and they just signed a deal with Mark Wahlberger to have 20 Wahlburgers in their stores as well. So
Mark Wahlberg has a restaurant called Wahlburger?
Yeah, it's a burger restaurant. In fact, there's actually a TV show. They do it. I think it's on IFC. It's he, his brother, and his mom that are doing it. And also, one of the most exciting ones is a friend of mine, Shannon Allen. If you follow basketball, Angie, I'm not sure if you do, but Ray Allen was, I think, on the Knicks. I'm not a basketball guy. For years, this
for a
is
minute.
His wife.
Not too long. And, but yeah, Ray Allen's been around a while. Yeah, I didn't know this, though.
Yeah, so Shannon opened up the first fast food organic restaurant. It's called Grown. They have like three or four of them. But the most important thing is they've just started opening up in Walmarts. And that's exciting news for not only her, but for the industry when you start to see Walmart putting in fast food organic restaurants.
So the guy we're talking to here, everybody, and Angie's just met him, is my pal Phil Lempert, who runs the Supermarket Guru, and you can go to supermarketguru.com and pick up on all Phil's knowledge. But today, Phil has taught us a new word, grocerants.
Right, and Phil, I just want to, you know, I know we're new together and everything, and you're just kind of, you know, feeling me out to see if you like me or not, but I like the fact that you...
I like your hat.
Oh, thank you. Yes, thank you. Yeah, it's a Chicago Bulls hat. Thank you. I go all out for this show. Grocerants, if you didn't tell me you were a grocery market guru, I would be like, grocerants. Ew, have you tried that new grocerant? It sounds like a nasty restaurant. So again, it's a really cool new thing. It's not gross. It's a grocery store restaurant. And we have in my neck of the woods, I'm in the Rocky Mountain region, we have a lot of coffee shops in grocery stores. But the reason this caught my eye, it's sad to say, and I'm going to just out him, okay? I'm going to do it, Michael Pelka. We have a news guy by the name of Chris Barnes that we've worked with a lot over the years, and his social scene is so sad that he lives with his 92-year-old mom, not in the basement. He actually has an upstairs bedroom, and he his only social outlet is either taking his mother to the grocery store, or sometimes he goes alone, and he goes every day, and he knows everyone at the grocery store. He's the norm from Cheers of the grocery store.
However, in all fairness, if you go into Europe, what you find is the same thing, where people have very small refrigerators, small freezers, if at all, and they go grocery shopping every day. It's probably the best way to go grocery shopping because you're not going to overspend. Gosh. You're just going to buy what you want to eat that day. And in Norm's case, he gets to see other people.
I bet people are actually, I was reading in this article that we were reading about the hottest social scene in town isn't the singles bar, it's the grocery store, that this dude met somebody by the cantaloupes, which, sorry, I didn't.
Yeah. Okay, let it go.
Say better by the fruit section. And he said the next thing he knew,
they were
at the wine bar. I mean, how does that start? Like, how do you find a ripe melon? Could you help me with this? I really like your hat. I was wondering if you'd like to go to the wine bar. It just seems super awkward to me.
It's a natural progression. You stop off at the cheese bar, and then before you know it, you're at the wine bar. This all comes together.
It does. And it's a great thing. Keep in mind that, you know, we love food. We're passionate about food, especially if you look at millennials and Generation Z. And what better, safer place is there to meet than in a grocery store? Rather than going to a bar and somebody picking you up and they're half drunk or something, you know, I think it's probably one of the coolest places to meet people.
This is great news, and this is why I love talking to Phil Lempert, the supermarket guru. Phil, I hope you will come back and visit us again another day, maybe every week.
I would love to.
You know, before I get to the word of the day in the history file, I have to tee off on some of our millennial friends. Just when I get good news about millennials, then I get a crazy story about millennials. We've often talked about the millennials being this sort of lost generation that we don't understand. And I'm sure it's like every generation is not understood by the older generations. But in the case of the millennials, I think there's a whole bunch of evidence. But there was good news this week because we heard that millennial females were starting to take the lead in terms of financial control and really starting to save and understand how to make money work. So millennial men, we need you to catch up. But that's a good sign that millennial women are really jumping to the forefront here. The men will catch up. We do pay attention to what you do in every generation. Now, the dumb thing millennials are doing, they are dodging or replacing engagement rings with diamonds, but they're not putting the diamonds on a ring they can wear on the finger. Instead, millennials are actually having the diamonds embedded into their fingers. So the place where you would have the ring is now holding a diamond, but it's actually embedded into your finger. This can't be a smart idea. You go to a tattoo studio to get this done. So you're not going to a doctor's office. It's akin to like a really serious piercing. And what they do is they create a spot where they can put an anchor to hold the stone. It only takes 10 minutes. They mark the spot on your finger with a pen, clean it with alcohol and iodine. Oh, good, because they're cutting into you. So you do need to have something sterilized, and they use a tool to basically cut out a small patch of skin, and then they insert the anchor, which is made of titanium or gold. That's what you typically use to hold a gem on a ring. That crown that holds the engagement stone is usually titanium or gold. And now that costs about $100. It takes 10 minutes, and it hurts like hell, according to all the people who've been reporting on it. But it's not done by a doctor. This is kind of an outpatient surgical procedure. Who the hell is thinking about this? And what happens if they get it, like, get in there too deep and they cut a tendon or something? So you end up having the diamond anchored into your skin. You can't really take it out. It's going to get snagged on things. It can take up to 20 weeks for this to heal. And if you want the diamond taken out, because we know not all these engagements always work, they say that's even more painful than the installation. Millennials, what are you thinking? It's time for a look at history on this day back in the day. You know, the way we love history on this show. March 16th. Yes, tomorrow is, of course, St. Patrick's Day. Behave yourselves. I don't go out on St. Patrick's Day because it's amateur day and I have too much Irish in me to get upset at all those people acting like idiots. But let's focus on today, March 16th. On this day, back in the day, in 1521, Ferdinand Magellan, one of the early explorers post-Columbus, reached the Philippines. Also publishing history on this day back in 1850, Nathaniel Hawthorne's novel, The Scarlet Letter, was published. Did you read The Scarlet Letter in school? Yeah, we read it. I remember it. Hester Prynne, one of my favorite names of all time, Hester Prynne. On this day in 1926, the father of modern rocketry, Dr. Robert Goddard, a professor in Auburn, Massachusetts, launched the first liquid-fueled rocket into the air. It went all of 184 feet in 2.5 seconds. Also on this date, we mentioned Hitler earlier. 1935, Adolf Hitler canceled the military clauses inside the Treaty of Versailles. yeah, we should have had an idea that something really terrible was up his sleeve. It was also on this date in 1985, an American journalist, Terry Anderson, was kidnapped in Beirut, Lebanon. He was not released until December 4th, 1991, from 85 to 91, and it was 2,454 days in captivity. Unbelievable. How about a word of the day? Sure, let's have one. An adjective, please.
Sartorial.
Sartorial is the word of the day.
Sartorial.
Yes, exactly. Sartorial. It means relating to a tailor or tailored clothes or relating to clothes. Poor sartorial taste. Something of which I have been accused many, many times. Sartorial is your word of the day.
Sartorial.
Yes, use it three times today and it is yours for life. Till next time, my friends. Testudo. Testudo. And don't forget, find us, Angie Austin, Mike Opelka. We're out there on the radio stations across the country with more coming every week. Follow me on Twitter. You'll get the rest of the details.